Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
After the final buzzer sounds, we're here to wrap it up.
Why not? You're Steph Curry!
It's time for Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7. Warriors Wrap-Up is presented by Realtor.com, the home for home search.
John Dickinson and Matt Kolsky, and you at 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Warriors Wrap-Up brought to you by Realtor.com, the home of home search. The Warriors lose tonight in overtime in Minneapolis to the Timberwolves. 125-119 is the final, so the Warriors start this season 2-7. The story of this game tonight, Matt Kolsky, a huge night for D'Angelo Russell. 52 points, 9 boards, 5 assists, but the Warriors lose a lead in the final minute. It goes to overtime, and talent prevailed as the Timberwolves win this thing. And I think it's a simple question when you look at how great D'Angelo Russell was, but how this game turned out. The question tonight, I think, if you're a Warriors fan, is the template from tonight good enough? Is this acceptable?
How do you feel right now? Are you happy? I think you should be. You should be. It's a weird place to be after 5 years of, or at least 3 years of, championship or bust. It's weird to be in a position where you should be thrilled about a 125-119 overtime loss to the Minnesota Timberwolves. And you got from championship or bust to this place as fast as you ever could have imagined.
Well, yeah, right. Mark Cuban, right? Among the many that say the worst place you can be is in the NBA middle.
Yeah.
And the Warriors have gone from the top, and they're skipping the middle likelihood this year. And now they're right back due to injury near the bottom. But
here's what I'm thinking. Stay with me here, because I heard, I'm trying to think what podcast I was listening to, where someone was talking about, look, the Clippers have done this right. It may have been Steve Kerr on the Bill Simmons Book of Basketball podcast. What the Clippers did is they built a collective of pretty good guys who had a couple skills here or there, no stars, but a bunch of dudes who could do things that help you on the court.
Yeah, a nice 7-8-man group.
Right.
That could win 45 games on their own.
Exactly. Now, I'm not saying that's what the Warriors have, but I'm getting to something here.
Exactly.
Yes, they could win 40 to 45 games on their own with that team. Although, I would suggest last year's Clippers probably wouldn't win as many in this year's Western Conference. That being said, then they took a core of dudes who played hard and well together, and they dropped two superstars right into the middle of it. Look, the Warriors that we're looking at right now are not as good a team as last year's Clippers, clearly. Even with Draymond Green back, I'm not sure they're as good a team as last year's Clippers, but they're certainly closer at that point. And next year, they're going to drop two superstars into this, in Klay and Steph. So, a team that competes hard and hangs in there against, let's call the Timberwolves, a fringe playoff team in the Western Conference, that's a team that two superstars later, I think, is a contender. So to me, if the team on the floor tonight, plus Draymond, if that group shows you we're tough, we can compete, we got a few guys that can do a few things who are probably playing more minutes than they ideally would, you're in really good position heading into next year, which, frankly, that's what matters. This year is about establishing players, getting in some development, and setting yourself up for next year when you're healthy.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Warriors lose in OT to the Timberwolves, 125-119, on a night where D'Angelo Russell goes for 52 points. He did take 37 shots. He knocked down 12 twos, 7 of 17 from three-point range, also 7 of 8 from the free throw line. I guess my angle on it is, are you okay with, are you, if you're a Warriors fan, do you want to see the Warriors execute and win down the stretch? Or would you rather just see D'Angelo Russell put on a show, this team show that they really aren't ready with this current group to execute down the stretch to win a game, even against a fringe playoff team in the Western Conference? Or are you looking at it like this was the perfect loss because you were entertained and it helps your lottery chances? I mean, that really is what it boils down to, because I think there are different sets of fans. Some that believe, win at all costs, want to see my team win on a night-in, night-out basis. And then there's another set that are thinking, I enjoyed watching the game. This year isn't going to be what I want it to be no matter what. So allow what happened tonight to turn into something positive for the next season. It's a little bit early and tricky to be thinking that way, but I think a lot of Warriors fans out there are thinking that way.
I don't want to be mean or rude, but Warrior fans should be thinking that way. That's what they should be thinking. Because if there's a name for someone who looks at this Warriors team and says, I want as many wins as possible, and every night they don't win is a disappointment, and the name is short-sighted. It's just not good. Like, and see, the trick of fans like that is you want to say, oh, it's infuriating that I can't believe they're going to be bad. I can't believe they're not going to win. Oh, it's another loss. How awful. And then you're also going to complain if you don't get more talent on the team for next year. But you can't have it both ways. If you want a high draft pick, higher, that means more losses. I mean, it's just, it's a binary thing. You don't get to win extra and also get a higher draft pick. It's not how it works. And there just is not any real value in 35 wins instead of 25 for this franchise. Now, you might argue that if this was an up-and-coming young franchise that had never been to the playoffs before and wanted to get some wins under their belts. That's not what this is. This is a franchise on hold because its two biggest stars are not playing. And as long as you're on hold, those wins, they basically don't count. So if you want wins that don't count, okay. But it doesn't help anyone in the long run. It really doesn't.
Unbelievable for performance from D'Angelo Russell. We also saw the Warriors lose a four-point lead in the final 25 seconds.
And not through unbelievable play by Minnesota, much more through some bumbling on the part of the Warriors.
Yeah, including the jump ball as the Warriors struggled to inbound the ball, finally inbounded it. Probably should have taken a timeout considering the fact that they had two of them at that point in time.
The press break was not great.
Winds up being a jump ball that the Timberwolves win, and Andrew Wiggins then drives right in for a layup against Glenn Robinson the third to tie that game.
Yeah.
D'Angelo Russell cast off three. Look, he was feeling it. It was an incredible night for Russell, career high night for Russell. He was a big reason the Warriors were in the position they were in.
And not a terrible shot on the final possession.
Typically in the final possession, you do that's what most teams do on a final possession with the game tied.
But he got a pump fake off, and he got a good look. I mean, it was a makeable three that he took. Better than some of the ones he made, to be totally honest. And D'Angelo Russell was great tonight, as a 408 texter says. Cool, he just increased his trade value, and that's something to keep an eye on. And whether it's trade value or value to the Warriors, the better he plays, the better. So that's good. I also think, look, we talked before the game, how does his defensive effort look? And I thought, good. I think he's still a pretty mediocre defender. I'm not going to tell you he was a stopper out there, but he was moving. He was up on his toes on defense. He looked engaged on defense, and that's progress.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Take your calls and reactions to this one as the Warriors are 2-7. And now this is where the NBA can be very cruel, Matt Kolsky. It's the fact that the Warriors now have to go from Minneapolis all the way down to Oklahoma City to play on the second night of a back-to-back.
With an earlier tip time.
And
I think,
this is
right?
a game,
the game.
Same tip time, same time zone. But that's a long way to go.
Yeah, it is.
From Minneapolis to Oklahoma City. And the Warriors, obviously, the last few years have had to go from San Antonio to Minneapolis. They actually will do that again, although not on a back-to-back, right in between the calendar turning to 2019 to 2020 when they play in San Antonio New Year's Eve. And then their next meeting against the Timberwolves is on January the 2nd. So for whatever reason, the NBA likes to send the Warriors north and south. That not a back-to-back. This will be a back-to-back. And now you find yourself at 2-7 coming off a tough loss. And tomorrow's game now is a lot harder because of the effort that you had to expend and the energy that takes a toll from tonight's game.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough game tomorrow. It's going to be a tough game pretty much every night for this Warriors team. And that's what people need to get used to. I'm interested in your perspective on this. Matthew from Danville texting us. Our young guys are not going to get better standing and watching Russell chuck up shots all night. I prefer watching the young guys move the ball and play hard and figure it out with each other than everyone watching Russell shoot. Is that what you thought tonight was?
I thought, and look, one of the big questions coming into the game was, all right, Russell's back. It hasn't looked great with Russell up until this point. How's it going to look tonight? Because the rest of this group has figured out a way that they needed to play together to remain competitive. I actually thought it was the best of both worlds tonight.
I totally agree. The way Matthew described it is not how I saw it at all.
Now,
I didn't see guys standing around until the end of the fourth quarter.
Until the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And I thought even the shots that he made in the fourth quarter, it was, here's our guy, isolation, go.
It was, but keep in mind, that's a guy who, when that quarter started, was 11 for 21 for 31 points.
Yeah,
they fed him for a reason.
And mind you, Eric Paschal was in foul trouble
and
eventually
fouled out
of the game.
Yeah.
But I also, this is the part that doesn't quite roll with, I just don't quite understand. And you see a lot of that. Well, you let the young guys do this or that. Well, who are we talking about?
That's right.
Who are we talking about in that particular instance? Because the reality is you're not teaching Kai Bowman how to finish games in the fourth quarter.
Nope.
You're not teaching Glenn Robinson III, who's a veteran.
No, I mean, let's just look at the street, right?
It's two guys.
Right now it's two. Maybe, best case scenario, you bring back Jacob Evans and Allen Smiley-Gage, and it's four. But that's it.
It's two guys, and one of them has played well enough in the early going to where, I mean, at this point, you're not worried about Eric Paschal.
No.
And why would you be drawing up plays for Jordan Poole when he's 3 for 10 and 1 of 6 from three? And
he's shooting 25% on the season.
And
God love him. I hope he keeps shooting. But when he's bricking everything, I think 10 shots is enough for Jordan Poole. And I just don't.
So that's the balance of. Yeah,
that's what you got to get used to.
That's the balance of, okay, the best way for this team to compete and win is D'Angelo Russell doing what D'Angelo Russell does, and he's going to have nights like tonight where it's clicking for him, and the Warriors are going to be in the game because of it. But if they're unable to finish the game, as a fan, you're also left with, well, that wasn't really pretty, and were the young guys even really a part of it? I mean, the results almost change the narrative from the entire night, and I don't think that's necessarily fair.
No, and I think it might be best for people to try to get away from the nightly narrative. Because, again, the Warriors are just in a position right now where one night doesn't mean a whole lot to them. Other than that night being a part of a series of nights where guys are progressing. And, again, even when we're talking about progressing, it's really two guys. Maybe you throw D'Angelo Russell in there as well, just in terms of you want to see him play as well as possible so his value is as high as possible. But and by the way, to your point, you want Damian Lee to shoot more, 1 of 8? Marquese Chris played nice in his 13 minutes, but it's not like you're running plays for him. You're not going to run plays for Alec Burks. Like, there just isn't anybody here.
The cold, hard truth is you can run through the 10 players that the Warriors have available to them right now, and you can pretty much, and you may disagree a little bit on a player here, a player there, and that's fine. But, I mean, Glenn Robinson at this point is...
energy and defense.
I mean, and he is a 11th to 15th man on the team that the Warriors want to be next year.
That's right.
Okay? Willie Cauley-Stein... might be a starting center. It's hard to really see. He hasn't played well, by the way, really at all, except for a few minutes of the Portland game. But that's fine. It's early. He's working his way back into form. I'm not even going to be too critical of Willie Cauley-Stein at this point. What is he? Yeah, he's somebody that I think you'd like to see play with the most talented possible version the Warriors can put out there. So I think he's almost in his own category. We talked about Poole and Pascal being young guys that are trying to see where they fit for the future. But Amari Spellman, we're talking another 11 to 15 guy on the roster at best. Damian Lee's the same. Kai Bowman's the same. Alec Burks could maybe be a rotation player in the future.
But not here.
But you're probably going to trade him at the deadline.
I think...
Chris Journeyman. I mean, like, they're not carving out room for Marquise Chris next year.
With Chris and Spellman, it's a dice roll, and maybe you get a 10th guy out of it, right? With Lee and Bowman, they're two-way players, for God's sakes. You're already running out of days you're allowed to use these guys at this point. Burks, though. You know what, Nash? I just remembered the thing. Remember in the third quarter when I was like, I was going to have you look something up. When can they trade Alec Burks? Because if I'm a contender, I want Alec Burks.
I believe it's December 15th.
So if I'm the Warriors, I mean, I'm on the phone now. We got Alec Burks. Because, first of all, Alec Burks clearly has value for a contender as a bench scorer, as a garbage man. The guy has value. Second of all, the Warriors need those $2 million they're paying him. Because they're going to need to sign extra players. They don't have enough guys to get through an 82-game season if they have anything like the level of injury they've had to this point. So they're going to need to find a way to get some extra money under the hard cap, and I think moving Alec Burks as soon as possible is going to be the easiest way to do that.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Warriors Wrap-Up brought to you by Realtor.com, the home of Home Search. It's John Dickinson and Matt Kolsky. Warriors fall in OT to the T-Wolves. 125-119 is the final. A 52-point night for D'Angelo Russell as he sets a new career high. The Warriors now 2-7. They'll be in Oklahoma City tomorrow in a game you can hear right here on 95.7 The Game. Yeah, Alec Burks is not going to be a Golden State Warrior at the end of this season. That just what are you going to get for him? Probably a second round pick.
Yeah.
And you can see as you start to look at just the players the Warriors have available, you can see where they don't have to be in a hurry to deal him at this point. I mean, with D'Angelo Russell coming back, look, the Warriors are still extremely thin, but you can start to see some semblance of a two deep chart now. You've got Russell and Bowman.
As long as Damian Lee and Kai Bowman are available.
But Poole and Burks. You know, you've got Glenn Robinson, you don't really have...
And Damian Lee.
Yeah,
I mean,
Damian
this is
Lee.
The problem. Damian Lee and Kai Bowman are going to run out of days. 45 days is going to sneak up on you really fast with those two if you don't find some money to convert them or find someone else to sign on a shorter contract or something. Because think about what you just said. Right now, they literally have 10 guys going too deep. And that'll get better with Looney and Evans and hopefully Smilagic coming back and Draymond in the relatively near future. But if you take Damian Lee and Kai Bowman away right now as two-way guys, you're back down to 8, which is literally the minimum you can play an NBA game with. It's just not tenable to play with this few guys.
Marquise Chris is the first guy that you can move on from with his non-guaranteed contract.
Yeah, you can cut him, but that doesn't give you much opportunity to add, because you're still going to be right up against the hard cap.
True. Although his money, and he was essentially on the Alphonso McKinney. I mean, him and Alphonso McKinney were basically...
Yeah, it's like half a mil, I want to say.
Yeah, making essentially the same amount. Although every dollar does count, you're
right. Every penny at this point counts. And we're talking about a few thousand dollars here or there to add someone like a 10-day player later in the season.
Yeah, I think it's going to come down to you're just going to have to play it out and try and maximize as many days as you possibly can with those two on the roster for now.
They're going to have to do some things
and
where they send them down a
and
day.
And then add it up. I mean, 45 days, just 45 days, if you just look at it on a calendar, I mean, that's right around December 23rd, 24th.
Right. Now, they get some leeway. Travel days don't totally count.
So you're right around New Year's, which is close enough to that date where you have to guarantee contracts, which I believe is January 9th or 10th.
Yep.
You have to guarantee contracts for the remainder of the season.
So that would be Chris. If they wanted to get rid of him, it would have to be before then.
Yeah.
There's a lot of moving parts, not because there's anything super important at the end of the roster, but because they're up against this hard cap and they're low on bodies. It's really a bad situation.
It is. And look, the Warriors are in a spot where, again, I think it's manageable. I think that's manageable. I wouldn't get too caught up or too concerned with it now because the majority of the players are expendable.
That's why it's not worth getting too concerned about. I mean, I totally agree. It's not that you're too concerned. I'm just putting it out there. These are things that are going to have to happen. Now, I don't think it should upset anyone. Whatever happens with Alec Burks this year, like, Warrior fans shouldn't be too upset or excited either direction. Whatever ends up happening with Marquese Chris, same thing. Worley Cauley-Stein, whatever. But these are all the little things that Bob Myers is going to have to be thinking about constantly just to keep a playable team on the floor. And that, I mean, that tells you how much sort of, I don't know about disaster, but it tells you how much stuff, how many unfortunate turns have affected this team that they're in a position where they're so short on bodies and so up against the hard cap that, like, almost anything seems conceivable with the roster.
Chilton Auto Body text line 408, so trading Russell won't free cap. Well, trading Russell, you wouldn't necessarily want to free cap. You want to bring
talent.
Back players.
Right. And it would only, it can only free up so much. We should go back to really, it's pretty simple, but there is no cap. Like the Warriors, there's the hard cap this year.
And it's not like you can trade D'Angelo Russell because I think some Warrior fans live in the fantasy world of, you can trade D'Angelo Russell and that means we can sign Giannis.
Right, no.
Get that out. That's not reality.
There's basically nothing the Warriors franchise can do to free up the sort of cap space you need to go sign a major free agent in free agency. Any plan they might have of adding another star involves a trade, not a free agent signing. So the issue with cap is really just to give yourself a couple million dollars to work underneath the hard cap for this season. Trading Russell, you would only do that if you thought you'd be getting value back, not space.
John Dickinson, Matt Kolsky, Warriors wrap-up here on 95.7 The Game. The Warriors had a chance to win this one tonight. An 8-2 run for Minnesota in the final minute of regulation allowed the game to be tied. The Warriors with turnover issues in the fourth quarter, offensive foul issues in the second half, and the one thing that changed as D'Angelo Russell got cooking in the second half, a lot of it was jump shot heavy. So the Warriors, who at one point in the game, they were getting to the line a ton. And at one point in the ball game, the Warriors had made 22 straight free throws. But they shot a good portion of those. I want to say 18 of them in the first half of the ball game tonight. So the Warriors wind up not shooting a ton of free throws. 20 for 20, the Warriors were at halftime. So they were getting to the free throw line a lot, and you look at the end of the night, and the Warriors wind up 23 for 24. So just four free throw attempts in the second half. Now, look, a lot of that was D'Angelo Russell got cooking, and he was doing it from the outside, but the Warriors were able to hang in the game in large part in the first half because they were getting to the line.
Yeah, and that's been one of the positives, I would say, about D'Angelo Russell that I wasn't necessarily expecting is he has been getting to the free throw line when he's been on the floor this year. It's not something he's traditionally been particularly good at, but it's a way to for him to be a more efficient scorer. So I think that's another thing to be encouraged about with D'Lo.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. That is the phone number to react to this one as the Warriors fall to 2-7. Timberwolves beat them tonight in Minneapolis, 125-119. You heard it on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson and Matt Kolsky here at 95.7 The Game. Warriors lose to the Timberwolves, 125-119, the final in overtime. Warriors now 2-7 as they will be in the air tonight, headed to Oklahoma City for the second time in under 2 weeks to take on the Thunder. The Thunder, of course, thumping the Warriors going back to, what was that, game number 2 of the season was in Oklahoma City. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Asking the question of you, just what do you think of tonight? Is tonight, do you view tonight as a positive? A competitive loss in a game where D'Angelo Russell goes for a career high, but there are some miscues down the stretch that prevent this team ultimately from getting it done. And Matt, I know you've said at a couple of different points during the show, whether you like it or not, you should probably get used to it a little bit if you're a Warriors fan.
Yes. Yeah. You have to, or you're going to drive yourself insane. If you require the Warriors to win to feel good about a Warrior game, this is going to be an awful year for you. It just is. And you saw why tonight. I mean, it's not that complicated, to be honest with you. They are significantly outclassed in talent by Minnesota. Minnesota is not one of the best teams in the league. The Warriors' talent level as it stands right now with D'Angelo Russell, without Steph, Clay, or Draymond, is bottom five. So if your position is anytime they don't win, it's a failure, get ready to be swallowed by failure. Like, that's just reality. And I honestly believe diehard Warrior fans get it. I believe that. Because if you're a real diehard Warrior fan, you've seen worse than this with no promise of a better future. And right now, there is a promise of a better future. And frankly, that future gets potentially brighter with every loss.
We've got your call of the game coming up. We're also going to hear from D'Angelo Russell and Alec Burks following this ball game as the Warriors lose in overtime. The other question, where does tonight leave you on D'Angelo Russell? Because this was clearly his best game as a Warrior. It was a career-high scoring night for D'Angelo Russell. But does a game like tonight make you think, you got to keep this guy? You want to see, he's an extreme talent in terms of scoring the basketball. Want to see how he fits? Want to maybe try and build around him? Or do you see a night like tonight and you think, boy, it's a lot of isolation. It's a lot of him and everybody else. This doesn't necessarily fit with what we've grown to know and love about this Warriors team, but at least he kept his trade value high. And that's something that the Warriors should be exploring. I think it's twofold, and it also plays tonight, Matt, with Minnesota, because, look, D'Angelo Russell was going to be a Minnesota Timberwolf if he wasn't a Golden State Warrior. He's on record as, you know, him and Karl Anthony Towns, they want to play together at some point down the line. So him doing that against them is something that you just kind of file away.
Let me read you a text that might not seem like it has anything to do with this topic, but I think it's directly related. A 408 texter 17 minutes ago texted to us, Stein used to play like Shaq against the Warriors. What happened?
Well, I told Warrior fans to throw those games out.
Well, but this is the thing. GMs are vulnerable to that stuff, too. Don't kid yourself.
Good point.
You know who else killed the Warriors every time they saw him? Alec Burks. Teams pretty regularly sign guys who beat their butts every time. Even when sometimes the overall statistics and performance of those guys don't support the level of butt-whooping that they lay on the particular team. Like, Minnesota's going to remember this night. their front office, everybody is going to remember D'Angelo Russell coming into Target Center and dropping half a hundred. And if that, I don't know, if that makes them slightly more motivated to acquire D'Angelo Russell in the future, that plays in the Warriors' favor, I think.
Let's go to Jimmy in Walnut Creek. Jimmy, you're on 95.7 The Game. What's up, Jimmy?
Great, great topic, right up my alley. D'Angelo Russell is not a Steve Kerr kind of guy. He's not part of the system that he runs. It's too much ISO. And I'd say leave him in Minnesota. Let's take a shot with Wiggins. I think he has an upside still. With he's still young. You get him under the, you know, tutelage of some of the guys on the team, and he could buy into it. And he'll play team basketball. Also, if we do trade D'Angelo Russell, can we throw in just for freebie? We could give him Cauley Stein. He is not the answer as a big man for the Warriors. I'll take my answer off.
No, don't get off the air yet, Jimmy, because I have a question for you. You still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, Jimmy. So here's what I want to know. And you may not know this, but D'Angelo Russell and Andrew Wiggins have the same birthday. D'Angelo Russell is 1 year younger. But you think Wiggins has a brighter future? Is that what you're saying?
I think Wiggins is totally underachieved in his pro career versus his college career.
But he's been in the league for a couple years longer than D'Angelo Russell, and yet you're convinced D'Angelo Russell won't develop, but Wiggins will?
Well, D'Angelo Russell's just not a Steve Kerr kind of guy. He doesn't play any D. He can't play with alongside Curry. I'm thinking the next year. This year's a wash.
Okay. No, I mean, I think that's a fair point. And I think that's the question about D'Lo. And unfortunately, I see what Jimmy's saying, but I'm not sure that a performance like tonight or his performance in general with Steph not around really tells you anything about whether or not he'll be able to play next to Steph.
I wonder, and this is a thought that I've had since the Warriors added D'Angelo Russell. I wonder what their internal evaluation of Andrew Wiggins is, because there's a lot of different takes on Wiggins that, you know, some say he's underachieved, some say he could get better. You know, his defense, I think, when he came into the league was pretty good, and then it went from good to bad. Effort has been questioned. Shot selection has been questioned, but you look at his body, a 6'8 guy, long guy, only 24 and going to be 25 in February, but he's the kind of player that I wonder if the Warriors would view him as a fit with the other three, meaning Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green down the line. If they say, hey, this kid is talented, we can, you know, use him as a three and a four. He can defend. We're not just going to give him the ball and isolate him out at the top and say, go get him.
I see. Again, I see what you're saying. I see what Jimmy's point was. I guess I would just say, if your problem with D'Angelo Russell is, man, all his offense comes from isolation and he doesn't try hard enough on defense, you're going to have the same problems unless Andrew Wiggins becomes a totally different player, because way too much ISO on offense and doesn't try hard enough on defense also describes him. He's just taller and a year older.
Yeah, and just there's just more of a positional certainty.
There's more
the
of a positional that, fit next that, to the
that,
Warriors.
That was my only thought.
I think you're right.
My extension of that statement is not to say that Russell isn't the better player or will have the better career or anything like that. It's purely a fit. Because if the Warriors are going to entertain trading D'Angelo Russell at some point, I've long been of the belief, I say long been of the belief, we're talking about the last 4 months, I've been of the belief that they are not necessarily going to acquire a star coming back or the caliber of player coming back that maybe Warriors fans think. Like, don't think D'Angelo Russell's going to get you Giannis. Think D'Angelo Russell's going to get you an Andrew Wiggins type, or a Covington and somebody else type. Think along those lines, not pie in the sky superstar type.
Agreed. And I think I'd rather have Covington than Wiggins. I recognize Wiggins is a better player, but again, the same problems you have with D'Angelo Russell, you're going to have with Andrew Wiggins, unless he suddenly becomes a much better defender. But I don't know why you'd think he is more likely to start trying on defense than Russell is. Now, again, tonight,
He's not going to be a good defender, but I thought he was present
on defense,
yeah.
which is an improvement and at yeah. least acceptable, right?
It's just if
Wiggins plays hard, he's going to be a good defender.
And a defender at a position of need.
No doubt.
Like the Warriors have enough guards
that
struggle.
The Warriors have the worst small forward position in basketball.
So that's all I'm saying.
I get it.
Cuz the eye has to be toward, and look, I'm not saying you trade D'Angelo Russell necessarily, but if you do, the eye is toward who fits with Curry, Clay, and Draymond.
And Wiggins is an asset that's somewhat distressed in Minnesota. They're yeah. disappointed with him.
Wiggins
He's got
and
the
Covington
right,
both do.
Yep, and Wiggins has the right salary to make the trade work. So yeah, it all makes sense. I'm just saying, don't get... people have a habit of assuming one player will do things that another player won't, and I'm just not sure with these two guys that it's very reasonable to assume that either will suddenly become a much better defender or more efficient offensive player.
I think that's a fair point. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Call the game coming up. We'll also hear from the locker room in Minneapolis. Warriors lose tonight to the T-Wolves, 125-119, and you heard it right here at 95.7 The Game.
Warriors wrap-up continues on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson and Matt Kolsky rolling along here. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. Call of the game coming up momentarily. But first, let's get to Nick in Los Altos. Nick, you were on Warriors wrap-up. What's up, Nick?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
I think we should be a little bit careful here about what we as Warriors fans are kind of thinking about. So, I mean, it wasn't too long ago where Steph dropped 54 at the Garden, right? And the reaction, I think, for what Warriors fans were doing after that game versus this game couldn't be further apart. And I really think if you isolate the performances, they're not that different. I think we should, I mean, D'Lo is a young, he's a stud guard.
Hold on, Nick. I'm going to let you finish, but just because I think this is the point you're making, but you didn't actually say it. The Warriors lost that game where Steph scored 54.
They did, although they were already a good team at that point.
Fair enough, but they lost that basketball
they
game.
They did.
So go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, so they lost that basketball game. I think the point I'm just trying to make is if you're trying to optimize and win next year, I think there are better pieces that you could swap D'Angelo out for to fill in around Steph and Draymond and Clay. But I think if you're thinking a little bit longer term, it might be a little bit hasty to trade this guy. I mean, Steph, he continues to miss games. I think if he's not on the decline of his career, I think it's fair to say he's on the back nine. I think you need some star point guard that can carry this franchise forward in the future. And I think that, you know, you might be able to pick up a few nice wing pieces for next year, theoretically, if everything falls into place. But I think, I mean, I think that might be a little bit optimistic.
Well, I think the problem with that, Nick, and it's a good call, but I think the problem with that is, as far as the next, 3 years go? Like, if you believe that the title window for Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green is likely to last about another 3 years or so.
Yeah, I would count this year as the third year, unfortunately. Like I think they have 2 years beyond
okay,
this year.
Sure. Then it's even more the case. You need to maximize what fits next to them for those 2 years.
Yeah.
And not hold on to a guy at a max contract who's really setting you up for the years after that.
Yeah.
Now, if you think the title window's closed and Steph Curry doesn't have a chance to lead another team to a title, if you think that's out the window, then by all means, transition. But then I think you're talking about trying to move Steph and Clay.
Right.
And I don't think anyone wants to do that.
I don't think anyone wants to do that. I think you want to see what you have this year. You want to see how many pieces fit this year. You want to use what's been handed to you to the best of your ability.
Now, here's the thing. Let me throw a totally wild sort of best-case scenario at you. Let's say D'Angelo Russell continues to be an offensive stud from a scoring perspective, also shows some distribution ability, also starts to play a little harder and more consistently on defense, and you
can talk yourself into a three-guard lineup that won't get absolutely devoured on a night-to-night basis. And you can come up with an idea of, look, Steph Curry comes back late in the season. Over the course of the last 20 games, we find an interesting way to stagger their minutes between D'Lo and Steph so that they're not on the court together more than 15 minutes a game or so, and so that you overcome some defensive woes and deal with it for a few minutes here and there, but your offense is so explosive it's worth it. Then maybe you do come back next year and you can keep D'Lo and have it be a situation where sometimes it's a three-guard lineup and sometimes, you know, maybe D'Lo is a supercharged sixth man or what have you for a couple years, with the idea of passing the torch from Steph to Russell eventually. It's hard right now to see how that works as a potential title threat in the future unless something happens pretty significantly with the way they play defense.
All right, let's get to our call of the game.
It's time for the call of the game, brought to you by Metro by T-Mobile.
Russell again will let it roll. Still letting it roll. Clock won't start. He'll pick it up in the backcourt. Frostheim, here comes Chris. There's the screen. Gets a good one. Russell has room. Takes a three. Got it! Just like that, he's got 52, and the Warriors trail by one.
All right, make sure you turn in tomorrow right here. That's right, tomorrow here on 95.7 The Game. Warriors this week at 9:30 as Jim Cozumore will join me. If you can correctly identify the call we just played, then you will win $200.
Cash money.
$200 to Schroeder's Restaurant at 240 Front Street in San Francisco. The call of the game is brought to you by Metro by T-Mobile, the best deal in wireless.
I mean, with that, you could take your lady or man out to Schroeder's and act like a big timer. You know, you could buy the most expensive bottle of wine on the menu. All of a sudden, now you're a baller just from listening to the Warriors this week tomorrow morning.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking a lot about this D'Angelo Russell performance and just where it leaves the Warriors. Look, I think you come into the night thinking, how's it going to look? D'Lo's back. The other players had figured out a way to play and be effective and compete. Can the two coexist? And I think the simple answer to that question is yeah. They coexisted.
And not only that.
To a point where they could win a game in the final minute. And then
it's easy to focus on how they blew this, on D'Angelo's offensive performance and mistakes late. But they were 11.5-point underdogs here. And they forced overtime and lost by what, five, six?
Six.
That's better than expectations. Like, the basketball-watching public expected them to lose by 12. So take the positives where you can find them, folks.
All right, that's going to do it for us. So we are back tomorrow, Matt Kolsky, at 3:30 right here on 95.7 The Game.
Let's see if I can sneak home and catch a nap in between, but basically I'm right back on with you.
Warriors live at 3:30 tomorrow, Warriors and the Oklahoma City Thunder. I will be back at 9 a.m.
Less than 12-hour turnaround for JD.
With Jim Cozumore, so make sure you tune into that. I want to thank Alex Scott. I want to thank Nash Solomon, our guy Ryan Mouser as well. The Butcher Shop opens up next.
Oh, yeah.
With Covey and Shasky, 95.7 The Game. Good night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.